You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Marching in, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of TPC. Now, we got a very special, unplanned treat for this hour. What was originally the plan was we were going to bring Jack Ryan on for the full third hour tonight, is something we don't normally do, to talk about the Olympics and just give him a little longer run. And there's some weeks he doesn't come on at all, and we bounce around depending on what's going on each week. Jack's going to be on for the bulk of this hour, but for this first segment, instead of talking about the Olympics, we're going to talk to a true champion and somebody that I can definitely say I wouldn't be here had it not been for him, and that's my own father, who has been in the hospital for a full month, and he just got out yesterday. And he came over to our house to stay with us, he and my mom. And he came into the studio tonight. He never misses a show, and he listens even when he's in the hospital. So anyway, I've got my dad here. I don't think Dad's ever been on the radio with me, even after all these years. But we did something today that we'd never have done before. Earlier today at the house, you've heard me make mention of the fact that I played school ball, and our school mascot was the Saints, and When the Saints Go Marching In was our fight song. And so I got to play 2 years of high school ball, and before we homeschooled the last couple of years. And Dad was the coach of that school team. And I went up into the attic today, and I found some of those games from 1993 and 1994, nearly 30 years ago, those games. And we watched them today, and it was the first time, the only time I've ever watched them. I've had them on tape all these years, and we watched them together today. And that just brought back a lot of memories. So I said, we're going to be talking about sports in the third hour. Why don't you just come on in? He's been in here with me all night. So I got my dad with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
James, it really brought a lot of tears to my eyes today and really made me happy. It shocked me when he brought up those old films. And it just brought back a lot of happy memories. We were lucky. We were 38-3 the first year that we played at Briarcrest. The next year we were 43-0, and I had the best group of kids anybody could have. I had two assistants that would pick another team apart, and we always had a game plan for everybody. I was smart enough when I went over there that I knew that you had to have the fundamentals down, and I always worked on that. But I also got to coach under a man that was over the high school athletics. And he taught me more in a year than I'd learned in a lifetime. And I give him direct homage for making us 43-0.
Watching those today together, folks, was really special. And I had more hair than anybody on the team. Nobody's going to believe that. I just had a big old head of hair. And I was somebody that had the opportunity to be on the starting lineup. And we watched some of those games today. It was just great memories. What a great childhood. And for anybody who would appreciate anything about this show, I mean, obviously, you're a product of your environment. You're a product of how you were raised. And we just had great memories at church. I talk about it all the time, those years playing school ball. And, you know, what a thing to watch those games again today after having not seen them ever, you know, and having not even remembered any of those things except for the actual events when you were actually playing. And to play you know, representing your school, and you had the cheerleaders. And I mean, it was real stuff. I mean, real high stakes. I mean, as high stakes as you could get at that age. And to see Dad on the sidelines, I mean, it's just been a wonderful childhood. And it all led me up to, of course, what I've done as an adult. But yeah, all those games, I mean, those were a couple of great years.
They were more than a couple of great years. They have been a memory of a lifetime. And I think everybody that played for me and everybody that helped us on that team, we were fortunate to have a lot of people that loved those kids, and like I said, we had a lot of support, and I don't take credit for it. I take credit for the people who honestly were my staff. They wrote a article on us in the Commercial Appeal, and we were a junior high team. And they said the only team that could beat us in Memphis was MUS, which was a high school team. That's how sound and how well those kids executed. And I found another thing, and it really adds to your life. You got to go through life at your own tempo. And that's important in basketball. You have to play at your own tempo. Don't let somebody else run you out of it, because that's when you start making mistakes.
I've got the article right here, March of 95. So that would have been the end of that second year, and 93, 94, 95. And String Music is the title of the article. Well, anyway.
No, read what the guy said about the high school team.
Well, I mean, I'd have to find it. That's a long article. And we've only got a minute or two, right? And I want to ask you this. I want to be sure to ask you this. Well, it was just a great day today. As you get older, it gets harder to stay healthy. And we had the opportunity to do that today. And I just thought that would be a fun way to start this coverage of Olympics to bring on and talk about sports in this capacity. But there's one more thing I want to talk to Dad about. Do you remember this? I've told this story a lot of times. Being in Fairfield Bay at the bowling alley, when the owner of the bowling alley came over and you made mention. Now, I was probably about 10 years old at this time, 10 or 12. I guess it had to be 92 because Buchanan was running. And you said you had gone to see Pat Buchanan give a speech and you were going to vote for him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that meant nothing to me as a 12-year-old. I've told this story before. But years later, when I was around 1920, I saw Buchanan on TV, and I said, this is the guy Dad was talking about. That name just stuck with me all those years. It had to be God's hand. And then, of course, through that, I got involved with them and then ran my own campaign, and then here we are. But do you remember that day? I mean, who would have ever thought? If it had not been for that day, I don't think any of it would have happened. Just a random mention you were going to be voting for Buchanan in 1992.
If you remember, my father was dying, and we were at Vanderbilt. And Buchanan came on the campus, and I went to listen to his speeches. And he was a man that moved my heart. And he got a lot of boos at Vanderbilt. But he was absolutely a riveting speaker. And he spoke about the things that spoke to my heart. And I wanted him to be president so bad. And I came home talking to the family, but I said, I heard a man today that should be president. And He just moved all of our lives, and I was so happy that he had the influence that he had over James's life. He was just a wonderful
man. But, of course, that all came from you. Had you not been a guy, I mean, what if you'd come home and said, I saw Bernie Sanders speak today? who knows? Because everybody wants to please their, be a chip off the old block, I guess. But, anyway, I love you, Dad. I thank you for the childhood you gave me, for taking me to church, for the discipline you had on the sports teams that we played on all those years. I mean, a couple of years for the school, but there was always teams we were playing. You know, we had teams in rec leagues, besides that, competitive leagues, travel leagues. And then, of course, being a guy who instilled, some of these fundamentals with me that I later on explored for myself and sort of developed. But, anyway,
today was a day that brought tears to my eyes, but they were happy ones, and it's been a wonderful experience raising a child like James. He's been so special, and now his kids are so special, and I can't believe that I'm a grandpa or grandkid.
Yep, it was. It goes by fast, as they said in church. The days are long, but the years are short. Well, anyway, I thought that would be fun to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed it.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by Lincoln Mercury. Nobody has more kinds of cars for more kinds of people. See them at the sign of the cat. By Goodyear, makers of the custom Steel Guard radial tire. And by State Farm Mutual. Almost anywhere you live, there's a State Farm agent nearby. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That is ABC's Wide World of Sports intro from 1974. That's where Jack's taking us back to as we continue and wrap up our two-week coverage of the 2020, even though they're being played in 2021, Summer Olympics. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing just great.
Well, good, good. And I know that you've ferreted out some good news, some good coverage of the Olympics. But before we get to that, tell us about your intro music tonight.
Well, that was the lead-in for a very popular sports show in the United States of America in the 70s. I was a small boy, the Wide World of Sports. I think the guy's game was McKay. But it's famous for many reasons, like the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And they have this ski jumper who comes down and he falls off the course and crashes into the crowd and stuff. And so he is forever immortalizes the agony of defeat. And there's some comedian, I forgot who it was, but just said, like, this guy made 3,000 great jumps, and he made one bad jump, came in, and he's just doomed for life as the epitome of the agony of defeat. So it was a popular show. I think a lot of our older listeners will remember it. The Wide World of Sports was a great one, but the Olympics are coming up, and this was the Wide World of Sports, and we'll talk about it there, but I think things are going great.
Well, good. Very good. So, obviously, the Olympic Games are now winding down, and this will, in fact, be the last we cover them. But what has happened on your watch, Jax, since last week's coverage? What have been some of the stories and some of the athletes that have stood out, and for what reason?
Okay, so, first of all, the thing you got to remember is that we do live in an occupied country. Okay, so the people that run our various media are not our people. The Olympics was given to NBC, and so they're covering the Olympics, but they're giving a lot of very bad propaganda in the advertisements of propaganda. They saw Jesse Owens in the 36 Olympics, and they've got in now, they've got some black women swimmer and saying they want us to stay in our lane, but we're not going to do that. But the reality is that Jesse Owens said that the Germans treated him actually really well in Germany, and there's not any black women swimmers going in there. So you have
you know,
to...
Hold on right there, Jack, because this is a matter of historical fact that I think people should know, and I actually just so happened to read an article about this that popped up on just the news feeds, and in fact, it's true that in those Olympic Games, Jesse Owens actually said that Hitler treated him with a great deal of respect.
Absolutely.
That it was the American president that wouldn't give him an audience and wouldn't invite him to the White House.
No, that was true. And that was true. But it's propaganda. They're using it against it. So given the way that it is, and I shouldn't repeat myself, but I think that every one of our listeners should have this device, TV Be Gone. And it's a device that will turn off TVs in places. If you go into an airport in the United States, they try to force you to watch CNN. If you got the device, TV Be Gone, put it out. But I view that, like, working in the Olympics, and there's so many events and stuff, you just need to, like, record the events and try to get away from the commercials, because they are going to do propaganda commercials to promote all kinds of dreadful things. But the actual events have been fantastic, and they've been good things, so many good stories, and they're the honest athletes from around the world are competing, including lots of black Americans, Jamaicans, and they're doing their best that they can, and they're competing and doing well. But our people have been doing great, and I've got all kinds of highlights for our audience to get in. You can watch them on YouTube and the like, but the Olympics have been fantastic, and our people have been doing really good.
You know, again, though, you're following it closely, so you know some things that you wouldn't know if you just took a cursory view of the establishment media's, the regime media's, the systems media, their coverage. And there was a very young white woman from Alaska, young white woman, obviously, from Alaska, who meddled. And she's the last person. Nobody knows who she is or what she meddled in. You don't hear from her like you do, say, the black malcontented athlete who won't stand on the podium during the national anthem, or the, I thought you were joking about this last week, I swear. But it's true that you have a man participating as a woman. They called these people transgendered, to use the parlance of our time. A man pretending to be a woman competing in women's weightlifting.
Right.
I mean, this is incredible. And if I understand correctly, he actually lost against a biological female. Is that true?
No, this is true. But you can get all bent out of shape about these other things. So these Islamic countries don't send any of their women to the Olympics to compete in women's sports. But I think that's extreme. I think our women should compete in sports. But, I mean, do you want your daughter to compete in women's weightlifting or women's boxing or things like that, even if it's not a transgender? So this transgender stuff is just, it's just another extreme that's pushing in. But there are so many sports that our women are competing in. They're strong and athletic, but they're feminine, good-looking. And so that's kind of the topic that I want to focus in. We'll do all the sports, but the sports where Western women are competing – yes, they are very good athletes, and yes, they're very attractive, and they do something. So there's an issue about how do they dress or whatever, but our women are just doing great. So, you know, we don't want our women to be doing women's weightlifting, and if there's some transgender person competing in that, would you want your daughter to compete in women's weightlifting? I don't think that would be a good thing to do. I don't think that's right. James, you there? Okay. I hope James get back into it. So a lot of the great sports that you should go in, our people are doing excellent in sprinting. A lot of people think that our people couldn't go there, but the Italians won the 4x4 100-meter race, and the Polish people won the mixed 4 by 400 meter sprint, and they beat the American team. There was maybe the American, black Americans, men and women weren't getting along very well, but these Polish people were running super fast. So they won the 4 by 400 meter race. Tremendous victory. Other ones, the Kenyans have dominated long distance running for a very long time. But they lost a 1500 meter race. I think it was to, what was it? And was it another Norwegian? No, Norwegians are doing pretty good. I think that was, yes, it is. Jacob Ingebrigtsen won the 1500 meter race. He defeated the Kenyan for the first time. So that 1500 meter race is equivalent to the mile. And so that was a sport that back way, way back in the day, the white American collegiate sports were very competitive in. But this year, a Norwegian beat the Kenyans. It was a fair race. Everyone thought it was very good, but Norwegians are doing very well. They won the Olympic race, and it was very good success, man.
I'm back, Jack. A little hiccup, as we like to do from time to time. But I'm back, and we'll be back with Jack right after this. A little bit more Olympic coverage tonight. Stay tuned.
Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
COVID cases in the U.S. continue to rise, with new daily infections averaging more than 100,000. According to new data, the 7-day average of new cases is just over 107,000, a level not seen since the surge over the winter. Hospitalizations and deaths are also on the rise, with more than 40,000 currently hospitalized, according to the CDC. Deaths are averaging about 500 a day as of Friday, up from about 270 just 2 weeks ago. Health officials say the surge could continue if more people are not vaccinated. Just over 50% of Americans are now fully vaccinated, with more than 70% having received at least one dose. And the bipartisan infrastructure bill has passed a key hurdle in the Senate, clearing the way for a final vote. The chamber voted 67-27 Saturday to invoke cloture, ending debate on the $1.2 trillion spending package, allowing for a final vote Monday or sooner. This is USA Radio News.
Energized Health. Awesome and amazing day, man. This is John Jubilee with EnergizedHealth.com. That's right. Write that down after you get off of this ad. EnergizedHealth.com. Because this is your moment to change your life. Intelligent men are skeptical. I want you to be skeptical, but I want you to go check this out today. We have a breakthrough science that is so powerful that hundreds of doctors have changed their life. They recommend it to their patients, physicians to U.S. presidents, leading scientists across the world, because it works. Intercellular hydration pushes all the toxins out of your body. It pushes all inflammation out of your body. Can cause your brain to have double the function, men, double. Your testosterone level could rise 500 points naturally. You can wake up every morning like a teenage boy again and lose 30 to 40 pounds of solid fat every month. Be skeptical, but go check this out today at EnergizedHealth.com. That's EnergizedHealth.com.
The mayor of McAllen, Texas, has ordered the creation of a tent city to deal with an influx of COVID-positive migrants that have been released in the city. Mayor Javier Villalobos said Friday that the charities that have been helping migrants released in McAllen cannot handle the numbers anymore, and asked the Biden administration for more help. National Border Patrol Council spokesman Chris Carrera says it's unfortunate that the mayor had to make that move. He tells Fox News that the situation should not have been allowed to get so bad.
You know, it's very concerning, and we're thankful that Mayor Villalobos is doing what he's doing. It's unfortunate the last mayor of McAllen just kind of turned a blind eye to it, as well as the county administration. They were constantly saying there was no crisis down here, there was no state of emergency, and only when the news broke the story of COVID-positive people that were released from custody are roaming around the towns and potentially infecting our citizens, that's when people started to wake up.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, but the network just had better jingles back a few decades ago. That anybody would remember that. That was the NBA on NBC theme from the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. And that's back when I was playing basketball. We were talking about that earlier this hour. That's the kind of opening intro you'd hear on any of those games. Now, we had my dad on earlier this hour, Jack, and one of the listeners has written in, listening to your dad tell sports stories about you reminds me of my dad talking about me and my brother's sports stories, always full of pride. Maybe it's a Southern thing. Thanks for sharing. Well, dad is still in the studio and he heard that. So thank you for writing that, listener. And, you know, believe me, it was a different experience back in those years because dad was the captain of the fire department in our local town, in addition to running his own business and coaching my basketball team and my brother's basketball team. My brother's younger than me. And dad was a screamer, like a PJ Carlissimo or Bobby Knight. So, you know, what you heard tonight, I mean, he's a little older now. He's just been in the hospital for a month. So, you know, you heard a little more subdued version. Believe me, it was different on the sidelines. But you need taskmasters. You need discipline. And with discipline, you can do great things. Our people need more discipline, Jack, whether they're Olympians, whether they're athletes at any level or not at all. You need discipline. And anyway, back to our coverage of the Olympics. What other stories of encouragement could you draw from, Jack, or have you noted, taken note of, before we look on the dark side of the Olympics as we did last
week? Oh, there's so many good stories from the Olympics. So the Olympic medal count, you can look at the different ones. A lot of sports, I mean, they've just increased the number of sports so much since the 1970s, quadruple them. I told you that they've made tennis and golf, and I think bridge, the game, the card game of bridge, is an Olympic game. Someone told me that stone skipping is going to be one. But the original sports, like the regular Greek, ancient Greek runs, track and field, wrestling, and boxing are the core ones. And our people have always done very well. It's hard to do this, but in wrestling, college wrestling, Olympic wrestling is a tremendous sport. And this is a sport that I highly recommend our young men go into. It's a rough sport, and there are some injuries. You want to protect your ears from cauliflower ears, but if you get good at this college wrestling, you'll never have problems with punks in the street and stuff. They'll talk their crap, and you can just get them off the feet. So there was a great victory by the Magic Man. David Taylor won a gold medal, and it was a very interesting match, and I would support. You got to go to, like, YouTube and find the one. So that was an Olympic win for us. And then other sports, the women's sports, again, the Islamic women, the Islamic countries don't send their women to sports. And so we have our one. And then the main issues, it's kind of interesting. It's like, what do the women athletes wear? And so there's some issues that the Norwegian, I think it was beach handball team, said that they didn't want to be forced to wear bikini briefs into the one, and they had that, and the ratings obviously for beach volleyball and things like that are higher if the women wear these bikini briefs, but they just said, we just want to wear shorts, and I would support them. I think that's a good thing. Our women obviously are very good looking there, and we don't want them covered up in burkas and things like that, but they shouldn't be forced to wear these scantily bikini briefs or the ones. And so that was a big issue that came out, and the American beach volleyball team did win the gold medal. Women's handball, the Russians beat France, and the Russians were almost disqualified. They couldn't send their national team because they did some dope issues of there, but there were the Russian Olympic Committee that did these things, and so the Russians have done really good, and I highly recommend the sport of women's synchronized swimming. Those gals are so athletic, and they're so attractive. They're like the Radio City Rockettes. That's all I can say. And it was very competitive, but the Russians won again. So there's a great sport. If you want to support Western European women that are athletic, positive, and then very attractive and not a slutty way and stuff, that's the sport. Women synchronized swimming. So that's what I recommend. I think it was the highlight of the Olympics.
Well, fantastic coverage, Jack. I mean, you really did. You were texting me throughout the week and emailing me about this, but you really poured into it. I mean, and watched it with, of course, not being very convenient with the time zone differential between here and Tokyo, but this was something you followed. And I like that you do that. I mean, you followed, of course, the You play tennis, but you were following the college baseball World Series and all of that stuff. And our people need to be involved in athletics. Our people need to be involved and excel in anything that they apply themselves in, whether it be politics or sports or academics or whatever. But this is an important part of being a well-rounded person as well. We need our people to be athletes, and we need our people to be athletes and showcase who we are as a people. In the best possible way, which is very much unlike the Americans, or at least the Americans who were getting so much fawning from the system media. The ones that were winning medals that represented themselves with dignity and honor, again, a lot of those instances you didn't hear about them. But the Americans you did hear about were the ones that were, you know, had purple hair or were transgendered or who wouldn't stand for the anthem or, you know, got down off of the platform during the medal presentation to
They tried to do solidarity. That, but I don't think that it pulled off. I think that people just said that they weren't. And plus, they always lost. All the people they presented as these great symbols of the blue-haired women's soccer team ones, just, they didn't do it. And then just the regular gals, I'm kind of there about women's sports that are kind of strength. There kind of in, but I was very impressed with the women's pole vaulters, that these girls are strong. They do make them wear bikini briefs to go in and stuff, but they're good looking and very athletic, and they will look great. And I think that they just did a tremendous job. If you want to see the videos of the women's pole vaults, and it's just like a pan-European one. There was no trannies or anything like that. These girls were good looking. They were strong, but feminine, and they performed, and like, they're better than me. I could not run down that course with the pole and try to get up there. So that's my one about women's sports. I don't want to support any women's sport where the women are not as good as I am now, and they're not better looking than me if I put on the wig. So, and they're better looking than me, and they're better than them. Like these women basketball players, I still think I could take them. Or these soccer players with the purple hair. They lost to 12, 13-year-old boys. You know, they're mouthing off. They want equal pay to the greatest men's women. They lost to a group of 13-year-old boys. And plus, they just got spanked by the Swedes and stuff like that. So I think it's been a tremendous Olympics. And you got to be, obviously, I think I like getting a recorded TV so you don't have to watch the propaganda commercials. And then some fast forward and stuff like that. But I think that the Olympics were very good, and I think it's one of the best ones. The Japanese are good people. I'm surprised that they had this horrible Toyota car commercial, which just promoted just open race mixing. I'm shocked about that. We should talk to the president of Toyota Motors and say, you know, you got to pull your account on that. But otherwise, I think it's been a great Olympics, and I couldn't be more happy and satisfied.
Well, good report. Now, we are going to – that is Jack's observations, his personal observations, and his personal takeaways from the Olympics. And, again, why did we – well, I'll let Jack answer this. Jack, answer this in your own words, and you don't have to say what I might say, but answer it in any way you would want. Why do you think – or why, in your opinion, was it important for us to spend a little bit of airtime last week and tonight on the Olympics, something we don't normally do?
Well, I think that international sports is an important – it's part of culture, just as – international music or writing, literature, it's important. It just shows that you're alive. It just shows that you're a functioning society of real people that tries to do good things, whether it's good Olympic sports or good architecture or good music. I just think that that's something that people that are alive are doing, and that's something. We're not dead. You know, I don't think we should just give up and say we're dead. So I think that we are. We're competing, and we're doing real well. So these people say that, oh, it's hopeless. Our people are all dead, and we might as well just give up. No, screw that. We're competing in sports, and we the Polish relay team won the 4x400 meter sprint against the best black American team. And so our people can do good stuff. And so I just feel that people that who are giving up and who are people are getting real paranoid and stockpiling guns and talking about the end. That's just not something I'm interested in. I'm interested in sports, music, and dancing, and literature, and things like that.
And of course, you know, talking about the Olympics, it goes back to ancient Europe. This is something that our people created. That all the world benefits from, and doesn't that sound like just about everything? Well, of course, this is a European tradition at its heart, and so for that, we need to retake it and let our people's voices and talents be showcased as well. We'll be right back.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and wind up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Whatever you do, do it to win, whether it be sports, whether it be politics, whatever you do, do it to be the best. And we're not into the whole everybody's a winner because they participated type of thing. And that goes for the survival of our people as well. I mean, we've really got to get out there, and we've got to fight to stay alive and thrive. Well, couple of things real quick before we toss it back to Jack. Number one, so last week we had the guest Larry Ray Hardin, former DEA special agent. He was on Scoop Stanton and Walter Yerkew, who, of course, follow us every week on the Liberty News Radio Network with 7-5 Radio. We call it colloquially our fourth hour of TPC, with Scoop having been such a long time and integral part of our team, heading up that show with Walter. Well, anyway, Larry Ray is going to be their guest tonight on 7-5 Radio. Now, last week, my daughter actually came in because she wanted to listen to Larry Ray, and she got to say hello to him on the air, and it made my son just so green with envy that when my dad came in tonight, my dad making a rare appearance right out of the hospital. We didn't know he was going to get out of the hospital, but he did come over to the house, So, hey, why don't you come into the show with me tonight? Well, anyway, my son came with him, and he wants to say hi to everybody because his sister got to do it last week. So here he is. Let's see what he's got to say.
Hi.
A little bit louder.
Hi.
Okay. I hope everybody heard that. That's my son saying hi. All right, you stay in here and don't go out in the hall. My dad's cheering for his performance there. All right. Well, anyway, stay tuned for the fourth hour, Scoop and Walter with Larry Ray Harden. Coming up next on the Liberty News Radio Network. If you want a little count on who's doing well in the Olympics, at least in terms of the nations, it really should be no surprise that the top medal winners in order are the United States, China, Russia, the UK, and Japan. I mean, these are the most populated countries, so they're going to have more people. And from
India's got a lot of people. But they haven't won any.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, you know what? That's a great point, Jack. That is a great point. Yeah, Indians, the people of India are prolific, but definitely not in there. So that is a good point. But nevertheless, United States has the most total medals at 108. China, second place with 87. China has more gold than the United States. But anyway, I want to read this to Jack and get into response. So Jack's been talking about what he liked about the Olympics. What are some of the other things that we haven't covered necessarily that are not to like? Well, Michelle Malkin has written about that in an article entitled The Olympics, L-I-M-P, Olympics. And this is what she has to say. Never have so many won so many accolades for so few real achievements on the world stage. That about sums up what I've seen from the Olympics 2021, or as I call them, the Olympics. Indeed, the time has come to retire the hallowed motto of the games, faster, higher, stronger. In our age, it is woker, weaker, loser. Take Megan Rapinoe, please. The infamously pink, purple-haired captain of the U.S. women's soccer team teared up after America's 1-0 loss to Canada, which hadn't beaten the U.S. since 2001. This sucks, she lamented in a post-defeat TV interview. It sucks. With a runny nose and watery eyes, she complained, I don't think I've ever lost to Canada, so it's a bitter one. Well, she is certainly a bitter one, ain't she? Perhaps if Moni Megan had spent more time running drills on the field instead of running her mouth about Black Lives Matter or gender politics or her hatred for the former President Donald Trump, she'd be on the gold medal stand instead of out in the cold. Good riddance. Then there's Laurel Hubbard, the New Zealand weightlifter, held not for her victories but for being the first out transgender woman to compete in the 125-year history of the Olympics. Hubbard's first outing consisted of failing not once, not twice, but three times to lift 120 kilograms. Never mind, she's already made Olympic history. I don't know why Michelle Malkin is calling he a she here, but nevertheless, I'm reading directly from the text. She has become made Olympic history and has been an inspiration for young people to be their authentic selves. Three failed lists, woo-hoo, bucket list items checked off. Now Hubbard says it's probably time for me to start thinking about hanging up the boots. Talk about resting your laurels. Meanwhile, the actual victor and natural-born female in Hubbard's event, China's Li Wenwen, set three Olympic records as she won the gold medal. But hey, who's keeping track of the winners? Next up, Simone Biles. We talked about her last week. After bailing on her teammates last week and then withdrawing from the individual all-around competition, as well as event finals and uneven bars, vault, and floor, the acclaimed gymnast squeaked out a bronze beam on Tuesday. She lost out to two Chinese athletes who don't have the celebrity distractions of social media. Who needs medals when you got 5 million glistening in lucrative accounts hanging around your neck? It's getting more and more difficult not to root against American Olympians who've turned the medal stand into their own personal grandstands. According to the New York Times, several militant athletes have been plotting for weeks to hijack the Olympic Games. U.S. shot putter Raven Saunders, who won a silver, told the newspaper she raised her arms and crossed them in an X as a predetermined symbol to represent unity with oppressed people, the intersection where all people who are oppressed meet. And it goes on and on along this line. She gives out a few other examples, Jack. Like American hammer thrower and tantrum thrower Gwen Berry, who turned away from the flag in June during the Olympic trials, is set to compete. So is an American sprinter named Noah Lyles, who often wears a black glove and raises his fist on the track before he races. The Olympics 2021 are proof positive that spoiled American athletes top the planet in self-absorption, narcissism, and entitlement. Take a bow. Now, listen, everything that you've mentioned, Jack, is spot on and quite right. I think we draw inspiration from seeing how members of the Olympic teams of other nations present themselves in the matter of a champion and with nobility and with dignity. Compare that to all the things Michelle Malkin mentioned here, which is what the United States was able to trot out this year.
Well, I don't think it's all negative. In particular, there are certain sports that were doing really well, and particularly men's swimming. Our guys like are doing good, and if you want a sport, like, wow, are these guys good? Like Bobby, do a YouTube on Bobby Fink, 800-meter gold, I think it's breaststroke. He came from behind and came in, and these American men swimmers, they're so good, and if you look on, they've all got really loyal, good-looking wives and girlfriends, and then the fans back in town. You know, these guys, not only are they good, but they're hunks, you know. And so what American women, like, you talk about politics, American women always mess everything up. They get all upset and stuff. But these American swimmers, these hunks, they have appreciative women fans and things like that. And so that's what we want to promote. They're not doing stupid politics or crappy stuff. I love Michelle Malkin. I think she's fantastic. I think she and Ann Coulter are our best writers about our perspective, but Ann's is mean. She doesn't like men. I've talked about before that she went after me and she took my head off, but I think Michelle Malkin is just a great woman, a great writer. She's patriotic and she's very feminine. She doesn't dislike or compete with American women like Ann Coulter did. So, yeah, everything she did, Michelle did in that one, but like, check out the ones of American men swimmers. They did so good, and they're like handsome hunks, and their girlfriends and wives, they're not complaining. They're not mouthing off. They're not dyeing their hair in blue and doing lesbian, trans, whatever crap it is and stuff like that. So they're winning, and that's what we should do. Is men should be men to try to do well. Don't try to talk politics with women and stuff like that, because they're probably going to mess things up. So, like, do the swimming. Like, Bobby Fink in the 800-meter free gold, and that's like really what that's something that our young boys should aspire to do. If you're that good at swimming, you're not going to have problems with these blue-haired feminist communist type people.
Well, Jack, you bring it back full circle and really split the difference. And I think there is something here that should be mentioned again. Is that is we did have some athletes, obviously, probably the majority, really, who went there and represented the country. I can't say our nation or our people, but they represented America well. But those aren't the ones who are getting depressed. Those aren't the ones that you read about. You're talking about these swimmers. I was mentioning earlier a young lady who medaled, and she's from Alaska. You know, nobody knows her name. I don't even know. I saw it, but I can't even remember it because it's not getting reported. Who was getting all the lavish praise from the system media were these malcontents who are out there furthering the woke narrative. But yes, in fact, they were not all like that. The only ones who got great media coverage were, but there are others as well, like Jack's pointing out.
Yeah, but all
why do you
got
think
the media coverage failed? They lost and stuff. So I think that's great, man. I think that's hilarious. I'm just so pleased.
Now, we did have people who won and who represented themselves well, but you didn't hear about them. So why would, in your opinion, Jack, with just a few seconds remaining, why did the system media spend all their ink on the ones? Well, I guess the question answers itself, because they want these people who advance their agenda and make them, you know, try to mainstream
it.
Well,
I think the answer is pretty obvious, that our media is controlled by alien people, racial, ethnic, and sexual people that hate us. Okay, so they do, and that's, you have to filter it through. You have to get the real story. But my brother went to the Soviet Union in the early 80s, and they'd have propaganda on, and you couldn't turn off the TV. You'd have to try to stuff towels.
That's where we are now. That's where we are now. So we got a lot more channels, but it's still the same thing. Hey, love you, buddy. Hey,
our people are doing fantastic.
Well, and thank you, Jack, for being a champion tonight on the radio with me, and for everybody who played a role in tonight's show, obviously my guys, Keith Alexander and Jack Ryan, for my dad, and for Neil Kumar, our featured guest of the evening. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Can't wait for it. Can't come a moment too soon. I'm James Edwards signing off.